There is a handout I'll ask the gentleman to pass out. I'll refer to this later. Something helpful, and it's on green paper for a reason. I'll mention that later during the message here. So as we heard also in the sermonette and in the announcements, we are fast approaching the holy days, the days of unleavened bread and the Passover prior to that. These are picturing in many ways what happened in ancient Israel, coming out of Egypt on the right after the Passover and coming out of Egypt, which represents sin, of course. And God did that with many signs and wonders. Many signs and wonders. He gave them a leader, Moses, to bring them out, like he's given us a leader, Jesus Christ, to lead us into the kingdom of God. And so in many ways, what happened to Israel in the Exodus from Egypt was a type of our salvation. God, with great signs and wonders, caused Israel to come out of Egypt, which represents sin, of course. And now we are going in celebrating this great feast coming up, this great feast of Passover and unleavened bread. And all of our salvation, our entire salvation, is really pictured in the meaning of these holy days. So we're going to begin that annual story once again. In 2023, God is going to ask us to come. He asks us to come and celebrate those days. The 2023 holy day season is going to begin. It's an exciting time of the year now as we come up to that period, as we get ready for it. And in preparation for those days, we're going to go through a physical exercise. We're going to do something that might seem peculiar to most Christians, to most of the world, actually. We're going to take physical leaven and take it out of our homes, take it out of our lives, and remove it from all of our dwelling places. It's actually quite profound in meaning why we're doing that. The simple object lesson of taking leavening out of our homes. There's a lot of meaning, much meaning here. What we're really portraying is taking the sin out of our lives. That's the picture of what we're doing, taking that out. And we're putting something in, though. We're putting in unleavened bread during that feast. And that unleavened bread represents the life of Jesus Christ in us. The only way that we're going to put sin out of our lives and keep it out is if we put Jesus Christ in. As Paul instructed the Corinthians, we know the story of the Corinthians. We pick on them a lot at this time of the year because they had a lot of problems regarding the Passover, and they were doing some things that Paul had to correct them on. So we know this story very well. I'll ask you to turn there to 1 Corinthians 5. We'll rehearse these verses here. We know them very well. And he tells them, because of all these issues, especially this one in particular, the immorality that they were allowing there, said, "Your glorying is not good. Though you know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Therefore," he says, "purge out the old leaven, that you might be a new lump." Purge it out, get rid of it, and become something new, since you are unleavened. You are unleavened, for indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. And therefore, he tells these mostly Gentile Christians there, let's keep the feast. Let's keep this feast of unleavened bread, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. These verses, of course, are very, very familiar to us. And what we see here, for one, is that Paul is encouraging, again, this Gentile church to keep the holy days. To keep the holy days. To keep the feast of unleavened bread. And here in these few verses is, in essence, our understanding of what these holy days mean in the New Testament way. In the New Testament way. So the purpose of my message today is to encourage us to be renewed by this feast that's coming up, and I mean the Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread, will specifically focus on the bread, the taking the unleavened, or taking the leaven out of our house, of our homes, and putting the unleavened bread of, which means the life of Christ, in the living bread. So the title of the sermon today is, I take from verse 7 here, purge out the old leaven and be a new lump. Purge out the old leaven and be a new lump. There's another verse that I'll refer you to here that I think is wonderful. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. Galatians 2:20, I think this should be a memory verse for all of us. Galatians 2:20 explains what's going on now in our lives because we have this life of Christ in us, and that we have with Christ been crucified. As Paul says here in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. But it's no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. Not me, it's Him, it's His life. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Beautiful verse, wonderful. Telling us what we're doing here, explaining that we're taking out the leaven, we're putting in the new life of Christ. We're crucified with Him, our old man is dead, and now we walk in a new way of life. And with each passing year that we keep these holy days, they should become more meaningful to us. The meaning of them should sink in deeper each year, and that's by God's design. He wants us to increase our understanding of what these days mean and how they apply to us. The Passover memorial, of course, brings us back to that commitment that we made at our baptism. We committed to go this way of life. We were baptized, our old man symbolically dead in the water. We come up to a new way of life. And that Passover symbolizes that death, that we're buried with Christ. And now we walk in the newness of life. The holy days then remind us that we need to carry on with our resolve. We come to that Passover, as we heard in the message earlier, and we think about it. We think about it very deeply. Think about that decision we made and our resolve to stay with it until the end. Endure in hope until the end. And now, because we've made that commitment and we're sticking to it, because Christ is risen from the dead, we now have a new life in us. So we picture that life during that feast, this coming feast of unleavened bread, taking that old man out, taking the leaven out, and putting the life of Christ in. As Paul says, we're buried with Him in baptism, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. That's what I call the baptism verse, is Romans 6, verse 4, the baptism verse. So let's talk about taking the old leaven out. Let's go to Exodus 12, where we see the command that was given to Israel in Exodus 12. Again, we're very familiar with this, and we go through this every year, and it's a wonderful opportunity for us to understand what these mean, what these holy days mean in a new way, in a New Testament way. God tells them here, tells us, tells Israel in verse 15, Exodus 12, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses, for whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. But we know what the leaven represents. It represents sin. And if we're going to take that leaven back in our lives, then that sin is going to cut us off from the life of God. And then in verse 19, makes it very clear here, for 7 days, no leaven shall be found in your houses. Since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a stranger or a native in the land. Doesn't matter who you are. This applies to everyone. So in the New Testament understanding of it, and what we know now, what this feast pictures, this physical act of taking that leaven out of our homes and our cars and our offices, or wherever places that we have control over, takes on a whole new meaning. It's very simple and profound. The symbolism of it. Very simple and profound. So I'll make some points today. All of them I've referred to already. But the first one, get rid of the physical leaven. Take out the physical leaven. That means go search for it in your homes. Go find it and get rid of it. And I think you've been through this enough times, you have kind of a way of doing that. In your home, you might start with your cupboards, and then the last week before unleavened bread, perhaps, maybe you go out and vacuum out the car, or you take care of your office space where you work. Any place that you have control over, that's where God wants us to go look for that leaven. Now, us doing that as Christians may seem very peculiar to most Christians. Why are you doing something that's Old Testament, or that's for the Jews? But we are very blessed to go through this exercise every year and think about what it means for us. The object lesson is very simple, because like leaven, sin grows easily. It spreads and can permeate our lives, just like leaven can permeate bread, and it does permeate the bread and goes everywhere in the dough. So we put out the leavening from our homes, which is symbolic of putting both the physical and the spiritual sins out of our lives. As Paul said to the Corinthians, don't you know a little leaven leavens the whole lump? So get rid of it. All of it. All of it must go. Therefore, he says, purge out the old leaven. So leavening causes the dough to rise, as we know. The dough reacts with the leavening, or I guess the leavening feeds on the dough, you might say that. And it gives off in this reaction some gas, some carbon dioxide, which is what causes the dough to expand. Now, if I handed this out to you, this is from reprinted from the article, February 20, 2002, so it's over 20 years old, by the United Church of God, a list of leavening agents. It's very helpful. I encourage you to read through this, although you may know a lot of it, but I think you'll be surprised at some things you may not have known about certain types of leaven, and what is and what is not leaven. So I made it for you in a one-page form. You could take this home, and I put it on green paper, so if you want to stick it in a cookbook in your kitchen somewhere or someplace else, you remember it's on the green paper, so you can keep that for future reference, hopefully. So when the Israelites left Egypt, they had no time to spare. The Egyptians were urgent upon them to get out, and so they baked and ate flat bread. The necessity of urgency was upon them to leave Egypt without leavening. So let's look at that. Look, Exodus 12 again. Exodus 12, this time verse 33. And so they had to leave in a hurry, get out in a hurry. And there's something about that too. They were urgent to get out, urgent for them to leave, as we must be urgent about getting the sin out of our lives, getting the leaven out of our lives, Egypt representing sin. And the Egyptians, verse 33 now, of Exodus 12, the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we shall all be dead. You know the story. All the plagues that had happened, the 10 plagues, and now the firstborn of Egypt were all dead. All of them. And so the Egyptians pushed them out. It said, leave, go. And so the people, in their haste, took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. And so that shows the urgency with which they left Egypt, or left the type of sin. We must have an urgency about getting rid of sin, getting it out of our lives, leaving in a hurry. We don't want to hang around when we see sin in our lives. We get out. So leaven for these 7 days represents sin. And Paul compares that to malice and wickedness. Malice and wickedness, he calls it. The action of leaven, what it does to dough, causing it to rise, interestingly, it can't be reversed. Once it rises, you can't make it go back. You can't do that. And that's a striking metaphor for what sin can do in our lives. Because once it gets in, it's there. It's in our minds. It's in our natures. So we all have this corrupted carnal nature because we all have sinned. That leavening is there. And once it enters in, it's not going to go away. It's there. We thus need to be a new creature in Christ. We must become a new lump, as Paul told the Corinthians. Just as leaven permeates dough, sin permeates our lives if we let it. As the scripture says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And so he says, therefore purge out the old leaven. But we can't do this on our own. We can't just get it out and keep it out on our own. We need Jesus Christ. That's sacrifice for us to be reconciled with God. And then we need that continuing help that God gives us to stay unleavened. That's what we need. We need to submit to Him, submit to God in our lives to produce spiritual progress so that we're remaining unleavened. We can't do it on our own. We need His help. But we learn by doing. And God is telling us, I want you to go through this every year. Do this act of physically taking leaven out of your house and your homes, your cars, your workplaces, to teach you a lesson. I want you to hear this again. It reminds us also, once when we do this, we need to be vigilant, because sometimes we could slip up. During the days of unleavened bread, it's probably happened to some of us here in the room. It's happened to me. And it's kind of humorous when it does. You forgot. And you ate leaven during the days of unleavened bread. There was a story. I'll tell my story. I like telling this, actually, because it has a great lesson for me. So it was back in the late 90s. I was in the church maybe 15 or so by that point. I was a single dad, 3 kids at home, and I was holding it down a job, full-time working. And I was racing to work one morning. I had got the kids up, getting them ready for school. They were all teenagers and kind of knew they could take care of themselves, but I had to rush off to work, and I was a little late. So I said, oh, I'm just going to stop at McDonald's and get myself an Egg McMuffin. And that's what I did. I stopped at McDonald's and got myself an Egg McMuffin, and I said, don't put the ham on it. Don't put the ham. Well, I got that Egg McMuffin and my coffee or whatever else I was eating and continued down the road. Didn't get very far before I realized they put the ham on it. So I turned around, went back. This time, instead of going through the drive-thru, I walked in and I just said, please, I asked for no ham. Oh, I'm sorry. It gave me another Egg McMuffin without ham. And I felt I did the right thing. Right? I did the right thing. It wasn't until that night. I was laying in bed thinking about my day and I realized I did it. I did it. I had no consciousness at the time I was messing up. But what's the lesson? What is it? I was so worried about, why wasn't I focused? That's what caused me to think. about what I need to do to make sure I don't eat leaven. It taught me a lesson about being vigilant with my thoughts and with my actions, not getting ahead of myself or thinking too quickly. And that's, I think, a profound lesson. I've not forgotten it. And I enjoy telling the story on myself because it is kind of funny, but it was a very profound lesson. So for 7 days, God wants us to watch and be vigilant that we don't let leaven back in our homes and our lives. And so we're going to do that. We're going to take that for seven days, we're going to keep that physical leaven out. Second point then is purge out the spiritual leaven. Get rid of the physical first. Now let's talk about the spiritual. Because just as leaven puffs up bread, sin does the same thing. Spiritual leavening, it puffs up our minds. And it puts us in an attitude really against God if we allow it. A condition, you might say, of self-righteousness. And if you look again at the Corinthians examples, they were puffed up. They thought they could handle this problem in their midst regarding the immorality that they allowed, they permitted there, but they were puffed up. And Paul told them so. You're puffed up. Your glorying, he said, isn't good. Your glorying is not good. They felt good about what they were doing, thought it was the right thing, but it wasn't. So Paul calls again spiritual leavening, or he likens leavening to malice and wickedness. So what is malice and wickedness? Malice is really wrong thought where you're holding something in your thoughts that's wrong, doing something, contemplating evil perhaps, you know, giving somebody the evil eye, just thinking evil. And then the wickedness is actually doing it. It's malice and wickedness affecting your mind and your actions. And that's what Paul said, we got to get rid of all that. Take it all out. Get rid of it. The leaven of malice and wickedness. And replace it with something much greater. Something much greater, the life of Christ. Replace it with a different way of thinking. As Paul says, the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. But God wants us to be spiritually unleavened. And while Jesus was with his disciples, he taught them several lessons, very insightful, about leaven. He compared leaven to hypocrisy and false religion. So on several occasions, he told his disciples, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. The leaven of the Pharisees. Oh, the Pharisees have leaven? What do you mean? They didn't understand at first. Well, let's look at that. It's Matthew 16. Matthew 16. After one such encounter with the Pharisees, Jesus takes an opportunity to explain this to them. So Matthew 16 opens up with Jesus confronting the Pharisees and the Sadducees and calling them hypocrites. And then shortly after that, we see his disciples, after they had joined him across the Sea of Galilee, they crossed the Sea of Galilee, and when he said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, in verse 5 and 6 there of Matthew 16, he said, beware of that. They thought he was referring to their lack of bread. He said, well, maybe he means because we didn't bring bread. But he was talking about spiritual leaven. That's what he meant. And they were not yet thinking spiritually, as God wanted them, wants us to do, to think spiritually about our intents, about how our actions can separate us from God, because we think of ourselves more than we ought, because we're puffed up in our minds. And so Christ is warning them, don't do that. Don't put on a cloak of righteousness like the Pharisees to look righteous on the outside, But on the inside, you're not righteous. Your true righteousness is what you appear to God to be like, what's on the inside. And so, after they were puzzled about his statement, Christ says to them in verse 11, Matthew 16, "How is it you did not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees?" Because they weren't thinking spiritually yet. They weren't. And so then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Because like leaven puffs up bread, these men were puffed up in their own minds, thinking themselves to be right, and their sin caused the whole nation, really, to most all of the nation, to follow them in their wickedness, into their sin. The unleavened bread of sincerity and truth is a life without that. It's a life without hypocrisy. It's a life without being self-righteous, about thinking of ourselves more than we ought. And we see the perfect example of that in the life of Jesus Christ. So let's look at that in Philippians 2, another very, very familiar verse, Philippians 2, and what he was like. We see in him a life, in Christ, a life of meekness and humility, of one who always looked to God, who always submitted himself to his Father's will. Verse 7 of Philippians 2, he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, as it was the Father's will, even the death of the cross. That's our perfect example. It's our perfect example of an unleavened life. So use the lesson of physically removing leaven and think about it in a spiritual way. Think about your life being humble before God, not puffed up in your own way of thinking. Don't have that outward show of righteousness, but strive to live before God who sees the heart with a sincere and honest heart. And don't be like the Pharisees who seek the praise of men, who want to be right with the world, but live for the praise of God. That's to be spiritually unleavened. And so the third point today, again, I've already alluded to these points, but we now eat the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And that picture is taking in God's righteousness into our lives, putting sin out, putting God's righteousness in, replacing our weak, carnal human nature and our sinful tendencies with something far better that God gives us. We have these holy days, brethren, to remind us of these things, which should be very apparent to any Christian. But the fact that God has given us this feast, it's not the Jews' feast. He never said the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Passover is, this is just for the Jews. He said, these are my feasts, the Lord's feast. These are my feasts. And God commands them of us, of all men, to keep this feast. We're blessed now with the New Testament understanding of what it means to be able to apply those lessons very, very deeply in our lives. So eating this unleavened bread now, the third point, eating unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, is symbolizes putting in God's righteousness. We put that sin out and take in the life of Christ. And Christ is, as he said, the bread of life. It was after performing one of his great miracles of feeding thousands of people that he explained this. After this great miracle, some people followed him. Were they seeking the truth? Were they seeking the wisdom of God? Or were they seeking more bread because Christ had performed this miracle? Were they seeking the true bread of life? Or were they seeking the physical bread? Let's look at this. It's in John chapter 6. During the Passover service, we'll be looking at John chapter 6. Christ is speaking here of what he is, the bread of life that God has given us to eat daily. So I'm going to start there in verse 26. We'll go through several verses here, but verse 26, so Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me." These people had followed him, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. They were wanting to see more food, more physical food. So he tells them, don't labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. Labor for that, work for that, which the Son of Man will give you. And it gives it to us in abundance, because the God the Father has set his seal on him. We go to him to eat the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So here's what we should ask ourselves. Am I following through with that commitment that I made at baptism? Am I really doing the work, as Christ refers to here, labor for the food which does not perish? Am I doing that work? Am I eating that bread that transforms my life? And the true believer will be laboring and taking the effort to put that bread into his life. Verse 32 now. And Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you," the Jews were in the crowd here, they're speaking to a crowd of Jewish people. "Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven," gives us Jesus Christ. "That manna was temporary." The manna in the wilderness was temporary. It was with them 40 years, which is very symbolic of itself, that God was taking care of them, providing their physical needs. But it represented a much greater spiritual need that needs to be fulfilled in all of us, to eat this bread from heaven. "For the bread of God," he says in verse 33, is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they were there talking with him. The bread of God which comes down from heaven. And if you read through the chapter, you'll see where this took place. It took place in a synagogue. It took place in a synagogue in his home base of Capernaum. Now, the synagogue of that day would have an open room or an area and benches around the outside. That was very, very typical of the synagogues of that day. If you go to Capernaum today, there is another synagogue built over the site of the first century synagogue. And so when you're standing in that synagogue, you're very, very sure that this is the exact spot where Christ was saying these words. Now, the synagogue today that was built there was built several centuries after the first century, on the same spot, though. The roof is gone now. It's just an open room with walls and columns, and it's very beautiful, but a ruin. You could stand in there. You can imagine Christ speaking and saying words like this, saying, "You must eat the bread from heaven." And so they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." Verse 34. And Jesus said to them, now I picture this scene taking place inside that synagogue. This is what he said. Verse 35. "I am the bread of life." And I imagine he was just doing a gesture like this in my mind, how I picture it. "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." This is the true food that you want. This is the bread from heaven that you want to eat, that God has made sure you can have in abundance. God has made sure that we can have always this bread of life. And so the question is, are we always eating it? Are we always eating that bread? Or are we eating something else? Are we eating another bread that causes us to be puffed up with sin? And we know the world's attitudes are pervasive. They're everywhere. Like leaven, the world's influence is everywhere. And we must be sure then, brethren, that we are eating this unleavened bread of Christ, not the leaven of this world. Verse 48, referring to himself again, I am the bread of life. Your fathers, they ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. That was physical bread, which was miraculous that they would have it, but it represented the bread from heaven that was standing there before them now. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. My, if you think about what Christ is saying here, the deep meaning of these words, and how he says over and over and over, I am the bread. Eat this bread. Eat this bread. If you look through that whole chapter, I count at least 8 times where he's saying those who eat this bread will have eternal life or will be resurrected again and again and again throughout this story. That's the bread that we must be always eating as pictured by this feast of unleavened bread. What a beautiful symbolism that is. And because we do it, we take and do this peculiar thing of removing the physical leaven from our home and eating unleavened bread. Wow, that's kind of Jewish, isn't it? Old Testament stuff? Aren't you kind of under the law? No, not at all. I mean, as far as being bound or in bondage. No, this is freedom in Christ. It's beautiful. God wants us to have this bread always. He calls himself, Jesus does in this chapter here, the true bread from heaven, the bread of God, the bread of life, the living bread which came down from heaven. This is the bread that God would provide, like he provided the manna in the wilderness without fail until the Israelites entered the land, entered the promised land. Then it stopped and they ate of the land. This is the bread that will satisfy much more than physical hunger. It satisfies that deep spiritual hunger that we all should have. And that spiritual hunger is to be like God in our character, to be righteous before him. There's nothing greater than having the righteousness of God in us. And we're picturing that by eating unleavened bread, having the very life of Christ in us. Going again through these object lessons to make sure we get that very, very deeply inside of our minds and make sure our lives are ordered in such a way that we are always eating the bread of life, the bread that is essential for eternal life. If we want eternal life, we must eat the bread. We must get rid of the leaven of our lives, the leaven of sin and wickedness, and fill it. Fill our lives with the unleavened bread of life, Jesus Christ. So eating that bread of life means we accept God as our final authority. Like Christ submitted himself to the will of the Father, we submit ourselves to the will of the Father likewise, like he did. To every word of God, we submit ourselves. We make his priorities our priorities. He commands us to keep this feast. We do it, and we learn the lesson, because it's really a wonderful gift for us every year. Certainly not a burden at all, but a deeply meaningful time in our lives that we get to rehearse every year. Wonderful. So this obvious lesson, or this object lesson, teaches us again. We take the leaven out and replace it with Christ. That old sinful self we remove, that's buried with him, and now we're raised up to walk in newness of life. That newness of life, that new resurrected life that is of Christ that is in us. So we have that very simple object lesson. For 7 days, you shall eat unleavened bread, as God told Israel. And now we know the New Testament understanding of it. So let's look at we come to a conclusion here, the Colossians chapter 3. Come with me to Colossians chapter 3. If you then, verse 1, if you then were raised with Christ, we're now raised with him, buried in death with him, and by our baptism raised with him. If you were raised with him, seek those things which are above. Verse 1, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died. Your old man is dead. Remember, we put him in the grave, right? Talked about a few weeks ago, not getting him out again. He's dead. He's in there. Should stay there always. For you died, and your new life, I could add here, is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, that bread that we eat daily, when that appears, you will appear with him in glory. Can you picture that, brethren? When Christ appears, it'll be then manifest what your real life is like, what is really inside you that the world doesn't understand now. I think about that, and I look forward to that day when it will be revealed to the world, this is the real me. This is my real life, which most people, I guess, don't get it right now. But God knows. God knows. God knows who I am. God knows who you are. So God says, or Paul says here, therefore put to death your members which are on earth, those things of the flesh, the fornication, the uncleanness, the passion, the evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. All those things which so easily beset us, if we let it. The sin which so easily gets a hold of us and can spread to our lives. Get rid of it, take it out, keep it out. And skip down to verse 10. Now we have put on that new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. That new man, that new life is now in us. Jesus Christ, the life of Christ, who, as the Lamb of God, sacrificed for our sins, and we died with him, symbolically dead in baptism. And we come back now in a few weeks to think very deeply about that covenant that we made and resolve once again with all of our minds and strength and heart to stick with it, to stay with it. And we can do it. We can. With the life of God in us, God gives us abundant spiritual bread, the bread of life, to do it. So get rid of the physical leaven. Purge it out, that you might be a new lump, as Paul said, since you are truly unleavened. For indeed Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. That's 1 Corinthians 5 again. Get rid of that old leaven, that old man. And deeply consider the lessons that God wants us to learn from this physical act of taking the physical leaven out. Very deep, profound lessons. Take out the spiritual leaven. That affects your relationship with God. That gets in the way of your relationship with God, because leaven puffs up bread. Spiritual leaven in our minds puffs us up and cuts us off from God. God says, take that out. Get rid of it. Don't be puffed up in your mind. And by taking this physical leaven out, it helps us to understand the spiritual leaven that we must remove. Then, eat the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So God commands us to eat this physical unleavened bread for this feast, representing something that we all need, that we all truly desire, the righteousness of God in us. Christ explained to his disciples, or to his follow, or to those who were here hearing him that day at Capernaum, that the manna was temporary. It was with them for 40 years, one generation, an absolute miracle. But it represented something far, far greater. It represented that spiritual bread that we must eat. As he said, my flesh. He's talking about his perfect life, which will satisfy us forever. If we don't eat that bread, we cannot have eternal life. And again, Christ said, you eat this bread, and I will raise you up at the last day. You will have eternal life. So those are the spiritual lessons of this feast, of removing the leavening. If we want to get rid of sin in our lives, if we truly want to be righteous, we must fill it with the life of Jesus Christ. We must hunger and thirst for that spiritual food. So eat this bread of God, this bread of life, this living bread which came down from heaven. And therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, evil intent and wrong action, malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Purge out the old leaven, brethren, that you might be a new lump.